Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Full show ahead. We're going to kick it off here in a moment with a conversation with the show's faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Logsdon, and a special guest will join us. At the bottom of the hour, Steve Christie, Supervisor Steve Christie on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, will join us for a monthly update on what's going on in his neck of the woods. And we'll also, no doubt, talk about the Come to Jesus meeting that the city and the county will have on Friday of this week as regional transportation, water rates, street maintenance, it is all on the table. And I will be asking the supervisor, is the collaboration we saw around the pandemic in 2020, is that being tested now in 2021? Are we going to see city and county conflict like we've seen in other years? Ultimately just makes things harder in the region. So I'll get his thoughts on a lot of what's going on at the county level. Ray, I have a confession to make. I'm not ready for 111. Just I'm not. Are you ready for 111?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. But I'm just happy that we're not in Phoenix because it's supposed to be like between 115 and 118.
Yeah.
So I'll take 111 over that.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks.
I've talked to some people up there that are just like, my AC doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And I have an old house with old windows.
Yep.
And my AC
doesn't stop. That's right.
For about 8 hours. So
that's right. Yeah.
I know that world.
I live in a 1930s bungalow. The windows were maybe not fully designed for air conditioning.
No, my windows are basically paper.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
You know, Ray, I was listening to, and this is where we'll get Pastor Jeff Logsdon and our guest Judy in today. I was listening to, it was an Ezra Klein interview with former President Barack Obama, and just talking about how do we get from, you know, hope and change, racial reconciliation, to just the divisiveness that we have now. And that could be a whole political hour of conversation. But one of the things that he mentioned was that we have fewer local institutions operating as kind of this binding community that helps raise our conversation beyond just the politics and the division that we see, you know, whether it is our churches, whether it is our schools, whether it is our college, whatever the case may be, our basic American institutions are no longer the buffer between people around these difficult issues. We used to have these places where we could come together and think about other issues other than that. And we've talked about on this show so many times that a healthy community life requires reference points outside of itself. Once everything is political, you know, everything is political. And Pastor Jeff and I have been talking over the last number of weeks about this really amazing data point that Americans' membership in houses of worship continued to decline last year, dropping below 50% for the first time in Gallup's 8-decade trend. Get this. This is interesting. In 2018, 50% of Americans said they belonged to a church, synagogue, or mosque. In 1999, that number was 70%. In 1937, when Gallup started this research, it was 73%. So not much drop off between the 30s and the 90s. We hit 2000 and something shifted. And Pastor Jeff Locks and I are not telling you to go to a church out there. Of course, it's a great idea if you feel like doing it. Our job here is to go, wait a second, something has shifted. Something has moved. The sands are different under our feet than they were. And what the heck is going on? Faith and culture contributor Pastor Jeff Logsdon has been guiding us through these conversations. Pastor, a little bit of a longer intro than usual, but I felt that was important to kind of say, why are we here and what are we doing? It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Thank you for having me on. And Judy, thank you for joining us this morning.
And with that, Judy, welcome aboard. Thanks for being with us. Hello, Judy. Are you with us?
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. Pastor Jeff, we've been trying to get some folks in here on the air to talk about their real life experience with this institution we call the church, good, bad, or indifferent. Jeff, why don't you kick us off? You're a pastor of a church. We've seen these numbers drop precipitously in a very short period of time. Let's start the conversation.
Yeah, I think over the past few weeks, we've had conversations with people who certainly represented a positive experience with the church. We know that that is great in a utopian society. It doesn't necessarily reflect the hearts or minds of everyone listening. And I know last week we got to hear from Isaac, and this week Judy. Judy's become someone whom I've valued greatly, and I don't fully know everything about her story. We're gonna hear more about that today, but I know she has not always had that positive experience with the church, and it's an opportunity for those who are part of the church to be able to listen, and I think an opportunity for Judy to share some insights that could greatly benefit people that share her mindset. So that's the intro for Judy.
Yeah. So Judy, does that mean that you're a part of the 47% of Americans who do belong to a church, or are you a part of the 53% that are a bit discouraged by the institution?
That's a rough one. I guess I'm a little bit of both. You know, I think in meeting Jeff and hearing him speak, you know, we actually came together through him doing my family a great service and honoring my grandfather at his memorial service. So Jeff kind of brought me back around and into wanting to belong to a church, but I think I'm still a nomad to a degree because I'm just nervous. Experiences with church hasn't always been what I think it should be. It hasn't been the greatest. It hasn't been the most welcoming. But Jeff does a really good job of kind of just seeing you where you are in the moment and saying, hey, come do it.
Pastor Jeff, back to you.
Judy, I guess I'm curious, maybe what are some of those things over the years, and thank you for the encouraging words, by the way, but what are those things over the years that have polarized you towards the church or have been disappointing or disconcerting, things that maybe have made you a little more jaded? Can you speak to that from your experience?
Yeah, so if we travel back in time a little bit, and we go back to when I was a child, I was super active in what used to be Craig Cross Baptist Church, a church in general. I mean, we're talking brick and mortar, go in, worship with one another. I just love to be there. I like to be involved. I like the feeling. And, you know, there were those, like, revered church elders, I guess, that you looked at, and those were the people that you followed suit behind. And my family was involved. My mom was involved. I was involved. I was part of the church band that went around and picked everybody up. I was always telling my friends at school about, hey, come join us, kids in the neighborhood. I mean, we had a pretty solid youth outreach. And a lot of that was just me getting out and telling people. I can tell a lot of people on a lot of things. And I was so just passionate about telling them on God. So that was really important for me. Now, life happens and parents make decisions that kids don't have control over. And my parents chose to get a divorce. They just weren't happy with one another. They weren't getting along, whatever it was. And there was a big shift in the church. And by sharing that, it kind of segues me into the shift in the church. All of those people that as a kid you look up to, the pastors and the deacons and people who have been there a long time, those people that you're told that you respect and you admire them, and maybe you don't feel like you do, but you're supposed to. So you just do. Just because the child's parents got divorced, and my parents specifically, we weren't as welcome in the church. I remember that one of the pastors at that time, he said to me that I wasn't allowed to be involved in the Awanas program and the Youth Outreach Travelers program anymore because my parents were being divorced. And I couldn't figure out what that had to do with me and God's love for me and my love for God. And I remember him saying to me that, you know, the young kids were fragile and I could influence them by what was going on in my life. So that was one of the big catalysts that pushed me out of brick and mortar church and into kind of just worshiping on my own.
Let's. I want to call a little bit of an audible on our usual format. Usually, we try to kind of ask a third question and then go to a break. Let's go to a break now and come back. I want to hear more from Judy and our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff, about what is the role of the church in the local community. When we come back from a short break, we have one more segment to go with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, guest Judy, Supervisor Steve Christie on at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk local news and politics with him. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
With real people. Tipping Point with Zach Ensor. 1030 The Voice.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com. Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Yeah. And we're back, Tucson, here in the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Part two this morning of our conversation with the show's faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. Lately, we've been looking at some really surprising trends where a local community institution we call the church has seen less and less people dramatically since the 2000s say that they see value in it, participate in it, engage with it. We're just asking what is going on. We're on the line as well with Judy. We're talking real issues with real people. Pastor Jeff, we've got limited time with Judy. We're so grateful for her time. What's one more thing that that you want to ask as a pastor of a church?
You know, I think one of the questions that we were talking about is what the role of the church looks like today with, you know, people feeling estranged, people feeling disconnected. And, you know, how do we bridge that gap? How do we better connect with people who feel like it's irrelevant or no longer plays a part in their family's life today? Judy?
I think for me and for those that I've talked to and the people that share beliefs that I do is meeting people where they're at. A lot of times in old ways of churches were, you know, you followed suit, you did what they told you to do, and you just came. Sometimes you didn't feel like you're welcome as you were, and you weren't loved the way you were, and you couldn't find God the way you were, be it, you know, an adult who wants to sit behind the choir during service to be able to just hear and feel God, even though that's where the kids are supposed to go, you know, or just having the live streaming the way that we do. I think that it's about the church getting out of the walls and coming and meeting people in the community and finding us where we are, taking us whatever clothes we're in, whatever day we're having, you know, and just loving us that way and bringing everybody back together. I don't necessarily feel like the church has to be inside those brick and mortar walls. I think that the idea is getting out into the community and reaching everyone where they are and trying to bring everyone together through faith and love.
Pastor Jeff, thoughts? Any kind of final thoughts? I'm always interested in your perspective as a pastor of a church when you're hearing these things. Any final thoughts or questions here?
Well, I think what I hear Judy saying is that, you know, and she's capturing some of the mindset of the former church as one that's grown up in that environment and has, you know, lived a life where the pendulum has swung from one end to the other and very much curious and interested. But I think the church is in a place where as an organization needs to recognize that the things of that used to be are not an, it's not an either or. It's not a, hey, we exist for those inside of the church walls or for the people outside. It's an and both. It's how do we help people who are coming as they are by meeting them where they're at, and at the same time, reaching out to the community and being a relevant part of those needs that are happening in the neighborhoods where those churches exist. Mm-hmm. And Judy could probably speak to that in maybe a future segment about some of the things that she's seeing or experiencing or what's attracted her to the church in this season. But that's the opportunity for the church, mm-hmm. is to meet people where they are and accept them where they are at the same time, to do both well.
Judy, I really appreciate, and I know Pastor Jeff does too, you coming on and sharing your perspective. Any final thoughts before we let you go? You stay with us a little bit longer than we hoped, and I know you're busy, but I really appreciate your time. Any final thoughts as we head out here?
No, I think it's just, I'm really excited to be able to share my opinion and my views and hopefully reach more people like me and see that there is a church out there for everyone if they're interested and they feel the call.
Judy, I appreciate you. We'll talk again soon, and take care in the meantime.
Thank you.
Pastor Jeff, always, you know, as we come out of segments, we often say real issues with real people. We have those conversations here. And that I think that's been one of the most real conversations that we've had. I started out this conversation, Jeff, by saying that really, you know, between the 1930s and the 1990s, our local communities participated with their church as a local institution in about the same way, in about the same numbers. 2000 hit in a 20-year period. It has dropped tremendously. Is there anything that Judy said that that kind of breeds insight to that in your mind?
Anything that she talked about that brings insight into that shift, I think people who have had familiarity with the church, you know, we're creatures of habit and people that get into ruts, and those ruts are no longer connecting with people in the experiences that they've had. Either they're not speaking to the real issues, or they're not listening to the heartfelt needs of where people are. God transcends that, in my opinion. The question for those inside the church, the question for people like myself, and I include myself in that, is, are we listening? Are we listening to what those needs are, and are we adapting? And so I appreciate Judy being willing to be honest about that, and to give, you know, people like myself a chance to be able to listen and to adapt.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because I think in most cases, I know, especially in the church, there's always this conversation of, it's a new day, it's a new time, it's a new format, we need new things. And in so many parts of our world, we see these cycles, that we've been here before, we've done this before, things, you know, don't change as much as they kind of, the cycle happens over and over again. But there is something shifting here. There is something new here, where we are just seeing a real breakdown of a community institution, let alone an institution of faith. And it's always interesting to kind of examine that. And I think what Judy was speaking to is what I hear from some of my skeptical friends, is that churches market themselves as a place of grace and personal growth, until you need grace and need to grow personally. And then if you're not helpful to what the church is trying to do, then you're kind of on the outside. And I hear that way too much. And sometimes you just got to call it like it is, right, Pastor?
Yeah, I mean, we all want grace, but we don't want to give it. And it is hard in those moments where grace is needed on both sides of the table to be a little bit more patient, and hang in there and try and understand the situation. I think we have those ebbs and flows, those cycles. I don't see what's happening with the church as the fall or the demise of the church. I see it as an opportunity for the church to thrive, but it's going to be a critical moment for the church to be able to work through those conversations with people and to truly listen to what those needs are.
Pastor Jeff, where can people find you and Hope City Church right here in the city of Tucson?
Yeah, HopeCityChurchTucson.com, and there's also a phone app that you can find at Encounter Media LLC if you search for Hope City Church Tucson.
Super. Pastor Jeff, thanks for continuing to walk us through really this faith and culture segment on a pretty regular basis, examining what's happening with the church in our community. Appreciate it. Pastor of Hope City Church, Pastor Jeff, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, sir. When we come back from a short break, Supervisor Steve Christie on the other side. We'll talk city and county politics. Don't go away.
Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning again, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser, joined now in studio for the rest of this hour by Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 here in the county. Sir, good to be with you.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I almost don't know where to start, so I'll just dive in and we'll back our way into all the things, Supervisor.
But before we do that,
okay,
I want to have an exclusive announcement,
okay,
that only you and Tipping Point and the Zach Yenser have received and know about throughout Pima County. So you're the only organization, and I'd like you to read it. This is the email I just received.
Okay. Special meetings for Friday, June 11th, 2021 have been canceled. Good morning. This is to inform you that the Board of Supervisors special meeting and the special Board of Supervisor, Mayor, and Council joint meeting scheduled for Friday, June 11th, 2021 has been canceled.
It's been canceled, so there'll be no meeting.
Okay, so we can go home, Supervisor.
Yeah, what else we got to talk about, right?
I mean, I appreciate the breaking news, but I had you on to talk about the meeting.
No, I can't help it.
That email came in at 9:05, so... Ray's looking at the news, man. I think that's an exclusive for this show.
Well,
first to know, first to hear.
I wanted you to have it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What
would we have talked about?
I'm a little lost now, I got to tell you. Not scripted around here, but I don't know where to go from there. Why? Why was it? Do we know why it's canceled?
I have no idea. I think there's, I really would hate to speculate other than what I think probably happened is there's some, and I'm just being totally above board on it. There's probably some scheduling conflicts that arose. That's all I can think of. There's a lot of people on both bodies, and it's kind of a difficult time, Friday afternoon type of situation. So it's too bad because I had just bought an extra bag of popcorn, and I was just going to sit back and really enjoy the show. But that's not going to happen, and I don't know when it is going to happen again, but... as I said, it just came over the wire.
Yeah,
and announced on your show.
I appreciate it.
I know you're
it.
Just taking it back.
I can move on the fly. You mentioned
you can pivot.
I can pivot. You mentioned it's probably scheduling issues. You think it has anything to do with the postponement of the decision last night by the city council on water rates? You guys were going to talk about much more than that, but would that have anything to do with it?
It possibly could have, and maybe there are issues that had been scheduled to be discussed on that agenda that after reconsidering and reflecting, maybe certain members in both bodies decided, you know, maybe this isn't a good time to talk about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take it at face value that there were scheduling issues with my colleagues on the supervisor board and our friends over at the city of Tucson.
Your colleague, Rex Scott, representing District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, his district covers a lot of the unincorporated area that would be affected, spoke at city council. There was a delay on the decision.
As far as differential water rates,
is your sense, my sense as well, that delay is more for public input? I don't think it's going to change votes. I very much highly doubt that the votes won't be there on June 22nd when the city council makes their decision. I think it's the same decision it would have been if they made it yesterday.
I think that's a fair characterization of the situation. Apparently there was high demand to speak before the city council, and they limited it in time and quantity, and those limitations could not be met. And they, I think, in fairness and in good judgment, they postponed it to allow for more public intervention and discussion, which is always a good thing. And it's really difficult in this COVID era to have personal interaction with constituents and to hear in person the voice of the people. So I think maybe it's kind of a two-edged sword, not a two-edged sword, but maybe a two-edged gift that this happened, because A, it allows the council to show to the community that they're willing to extend and give another opportunity for public input. And secondly, I would assume that they've been stung pretty good by their constituents, maybe, as well as the residents of unincorporated Pima County and business groups and other entities that are involved here. And there's a very good possibility that they thought, well, maybe we better just set this back a little bit and take a deep breath and reflect and analyze what we've been hearing, what's been said, and who's saying it. And this will give us a breather. So I agree with you. I don't think it would have changed any votes. You mentioned my colleague, Rex Scott. He's a very thoughtful individual, and I think he works very hard at listening to all sides of the spectrum on a particular matter. I know he's been doing this with the differential water rates. As you pointed out, his district has a lot of unincorporated residents as well that will be affected by this. But he also has the pull from his Democrat colleagues on the city council, as well as a couple of our colleagues on the board of supervisors. So he's in a difficult position, because he's got to listen to his constituents and try to work a way that is acceptable to them as their representative. But at the end of the day, he still has, I'm sure, party loyalty and philosophy that he wants to keep that connection with the Democratic Party. And I've heard him speak on a number of times. And at the end of the day, he is a very committed Democrat with the Democrat narrative and the agenda that that party is putting forth. So I can sense that he's really going to be caught in the middle. And it'll be interesting to see how he is able to maneuver this and find the pathway that he can satisfy the Democratic Party as well as his constituents.
One of the council members in the city of Tucson, Councilmember Steve Kozacik, asked Assistant City Manager Tim Tomier, who has been kind of leading the staff side of this analysis of differential water rates.
Well, he's actually running the Tucson Water, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah, and he used to do parks as well, but I think now he's
an interim or something of that nature.
Yeah. And Councilmember Kozacik's ask over the next 2 weeks was to actually look at cost of service. So my understanding is that through all this time, the city of Tucson actually hasn't done a cost of service analysis. What are they going to find, Supervisor Christie? Does it cost a lot more to provide water to unincorporated Pima County? What are you seeing?
My gut feeling is that it's a standardized cost throughout the county to deliver water. And let's not forget that you pay for the water you use. So the city's argument is that people in unincorporated Pima County are utilizing or using more water than the city residents. Let's remember that those people, if they are in fact using more, are paying for it. So I don't find any inequity involved there. I do think it's a good idea that they did postpone this. As you pointed out, there was direction given to staff in the city to come up with some more finite measures. I haven't seen any definitive numbers or reasons or costs or an analysis of why there is this, if there is this. I ask you, have you seen any?
No. My
and I don't think anyone
it hasn't been put together.
But yet, without that information, they've been forwarding this proposition, and I think that's irresponsible policy without the facts and figures and the proof of and justification behind them. I think they're going into some pretty bad territory and down some slippery slopes when they try to put something as volatile as increased water rates on a very substantial population without having any backup as far as costs and analysis and why we're doing this.
One last follow-up question, and then we'll go to a break and then go to a different topic. Another item that would have been on the June 11th meeting that, if you just joined us, was canceled between the city and the county. Councilmember Cunningham, and it's been interesting, Supervisor. I'm going to editorialize for a second. There's been a lot of reasons why the city wants to talk about differential water rates, and it really depends on who you talk to. Some members are looking at it as an equity and social justice issue. Councilmember Cunningham has never talked about that. His remarks yesterday were, this prevents us from incorporation annexation and prevents more money, state share revenue, from coming to the greater Tucson area. Things like it costs more to maintain the infrastructure. Things like there's not sustainability measures built in. They charge a groundwater recycling rate to City of Tucson residents that they can't charge to unincorporated residents. So he was talking very nuts and bolts on the costs to serve, not of service, but cost of infrastructure, decrease in state shared revenue by communities not either incorporating or annexing into the city. Does he have any points there that you think are valid?
Well, we have to go back to the original history. I pointed out in an editorial yesterday's paper that there was a three-pronged attack that the city council and the city of Tucson are forwarding on this issue of differential water rates. One and was the first rationale was annexation. Now, these are not my words. These are members of the Tucson City Council that stipulated that by raising water rates to the unincorporated residents of Pima County, that if they didn't like it and if they complained about it and they thought it was unfair, they had an option. And that was to be for them to be allowed to be incorporated by the City of Tucson. So annexation was their original goal that they put out there as a rationale to raise water rates. Then it kind of devolved into, well, not necessarily the city of Tucson annexing you, but any incorporated city annexing you. So that was like phase two. And their justification is if you go in and become incorporated, there'll be more state shared revenue. So it's in your best interest to allow yourself to be incorporated by any city. Now that shared revenue issue, that's a whole nother discussion for another time, and it can be argued on several different levels. But you can see how it changed from City of Tucson annexation to any city's annexation. And then we saw evidence from the Tucson City Water Advisory Board that this would be a fair and equitable, quote-unquote, water equity issue by having the higher-income folks who live in unincorporated Pima County pay more so that lower income families in the city of Tucson could be subsidized by that rate increase and that surplus that would be followed. And then, of course, is the third issue here that it was very clearly articulated by a number of people, including a member of the Board of Supervisors, that if we can get higher rates installed in unincorporated Pima County, this will thwart and stop and inhibit growth and development. So they started with annexation, moved to social justice, and then brought in growth and development. So it's a very complex three-pronged attack that they're utilizing and trying to forward and justify what they're doing.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie representing District 4 here in Pima County. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, Administrator Huckleberry was on the Bill Buckmaster Show on Friday. I have a real quick question sort of related to this, so something he said I want to get your thoughts on. And then let's talk regional transportation as we can. We'll talk about all the issues that would have been talked about on June 11th, this Friday. The meeting between the city and the county was just canceled less than an hour ago. We're talking to Supervisor Steve Christie. We'll be right back.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com. Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Why I love where I live.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
And And we're back here in the 1030 The Voice studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Supervisor Steve Christie is with me here as we wrap up the hour, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I didn't have a chance to fit this in before the break, but I wanted to ask you, County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry was on the Bill Buckmaster show on Friday, and I listened a couple of times, and it sounded like the point he was making at one point was that the value of a largely unincorporated Pima County, especially compared to Maricopa, is less competition, and that more incorporated areas trying to all do tax incentives and trying to bring companies in would create a competition that would harm the region. In his mind, having a lot of power in the county in terms of economic development is better for the region. Do you agree or disagree?
I would have to disagree. I think that incorporation really needs to be analyzed and looked at. We have in my district that issue coming up pretty strongly out in Vail and Corona de Tucson. Of course, they've had those issues of incorporation before. Matter of fact, Vail had one, I think it was in 2014 or 16, and it failed. But now it's starting to bubble up again. And I have no problem with communities incorporating, just so long as everybody knows what it's all about. And I think that's one of the issues that needs to be really underscored, is that there are a lot of efforts and ramifications involved in incorporation, not all good. And I don't know all of the answers, but I will certainly support any of my communities in my district that want to proceed with incorporation, just so long as the whole community is on board, or the predominant population, and that everybody understands how the game is played, and they know on the balance sheet what's good and what's bad. I happen to think I'm part of the school that says I think more incorporated areas might very well create better competition in the region and promote more activity of an economic development sense. Who knows? Maricopa County is a prime example of how that whole dynamic operates, right? And it's not equivalent in Pima County, and maybe it's something that it should be.
Yeah, 2012 data, and it doesn't seem to shift too much in an 8-year period. But in 2012, 45% of Pima County residents made less than $50K. About 65 in the city of Tucson made less than $50K. To me, let's try something new, because I'm not sure that the current status quo is working for the majority of Pima County residents.
As has been pointed out by many, that this has not changed in decades. So it's not going to help us grow. It's not going to help us expand, and it's certainly not going to help the community.
The city is looking at things like the PAYGO program, and I think that is driving some water conversations, driving RTA, Pima Association of Governments conversations, where they're saying, we feel like the whipping boy in the region. We've got the majority of people, the majority of taxpayers. We're just not getting our fair share when it comes to roads, when it comes to water. I think that's where a lot of this is coming. In terms of PAG and RTA, is the city right? Has the city gotten a fair treatment by the RTA?
I was on the original Citizens Advisory Committee back in 2005 and 2006. I served as chair of the RTA. I served as chair of Pima Association of Government. I was chair of the State Transportation Board. So I was in the foundational beginnings of this whole process. And the city of Tucson was a very predominant and well-positioned jurisdiction in the whole process. They were given utmost consideration. And if you look at the projects that have occurred, a huge section of them have been devoted to improving transportation and infrastructure in the city of Tucson. I don't think many of the members of the city council are aware of that or want to be aware of that, but if they did a deep dive into the analysis, they could see the miles of sidewalks, the bus pullouts, the expanded lanes in major arterials, the improvements in intersections. And this whole RTA program was driven by one thing, and that was the community was sick and tired of traffic deadlock. And the way that they designed it was to get citizen input and then make sure that once the plan was put in place, that it stayed in place, because the community had seen examples in the past, in the very recent past from that point, of monies being put or diverted to other projects that they thought were not going to be sent there, but they were told were going to be sent in other projects. So there was a huge erosion of trust, particularly about Pima County, because Pima County had done much of this, and then the city of Tucson was involved as well. So now the RTA, and I think everyone would agree, has established that trust feature that's so important, that the community knows that when this plan back in 2006 was voted upon and approved by the county, that it was virtually cut in stone and would not change. And that, I think, increased the trust factor. Now, by the actions of the city of Tucson and by the approach by certain leadership in the city of Tucson, that trust is being eroded. And I think that's a very detrimental thing to our region and to collaboration with our jurisdictions, and could in very strong elements create a negative situation that could cause the downfall of not only the renewal of the RTA, but its current plan. And that's a very dangerous and troubling situation.
I don't know if I'll have time to ask you a question on this, Supervisor Christie. I wanted to, but we're about at a minute. But yesterday, the mayor and council authorized basically a 2022 ballot item in the city of Tucson to renew a version of Prop 101, which was a transportation ballot item back in 2017. If I had to read the tea leaves, what I think I'm reading is that there will be an attempt to put a Move Tucson ballot item on that. And I could see a region where the city of Tucson does try to strike out on its own and do its own transportation plan, ask the voters to do that, and maybe leave the RTA.
Yeah, pack up their football and head home and say, you know, I'm not playing in your sandbox anymore. And, of course, we've seen this time and time again that that there's not a tax increase that the city of Tucson doesn't like. So this is not a surprising development.
Supervisor Steve Christie, never enough time together. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being in studio.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've got you locked in for next month, so we'll see you then.
All right. Maybe I'll have another announcement.
Sounds good. Always. We'll talk eviction moratorium deadlines tomorrow on the show. We'll see you, Tucson. Take care. Bill Buckmaster at noon.